victory. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart. Filling every part of our breath. Presence in this place, your glory on our face. We're looking to the sky, descending like a cloud. You're standing with us now, Lord. Unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing.
He's a king of Israel. He's a king of righteousness. He's a king of the ages. He's a king of heaven. He's a king of glory. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my king. I wonder, do you know him? My king is a sovereign king. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world. He's God's son. He's a sinner's savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior. I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Well, his light is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is light. I wish I could describe him to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You see, you can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Terror couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. Yeah.
Our God is greater and stronger and higher than any other, and to that let us sing.
Water, you turn into wine. Open the eyes of the blind. There's no one like you. None like you. Into the darkness you shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no one like you. Our God is healer, awesome and powerful.
All right, we hope you're glad you're here this morning. I'm certainly glad. That fellow who did that video, the name is Shadrach Meshach Lockridge. And it has been done many years ago. It's one of my very favorite because it declares all the attributes of our King. Amen? And what a marvelous testimony. I tell you, I just want to stand up and cheer every time that I hear it. And that just song that we just sang, you know, as we think about the victory that is ours in Christ, we demonstrate the real victory of being a child of God, not in here. This is the pep rally, the games out there, right? Boy, amen. You're either for us or against us here. This is the place we come together to celebrate, to rejoice, to draw strength, to heal, to do all those things. But when we leave this place is when we enter the mission field, where we live, where the problems come, where the difficulties are. And that's where we make the difference for Christ. It's easy for us to raise our hands in here. It's easy for me to holler amen in here. It becomes difficult in a lost and dying world. As we think about coming off the heels of Christmas, headed to the new year, I want to read for you a passage out of Luke. Listen. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Listen, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, the Holy Spirit hadn't come. Pentecost hadn't happened yet. But the Holy Spirit was upon Simeon. I believe that Scripture means that it abided on him. It stayed on him. It could be that it was that moment it was on him. But as you read the rest of the story, you'll see why I believe what I do. So he came by the Spirit. The Spirit led him to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples. A light, listen, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. Man, he had some insight. And the glory of your people, Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. You know what that means? It means they didn't understand what he was saying. It means they marveled at, what is he talking about? A revelation to the Gentiles. You see, Jesus ushered in the universality of the gospel for John 3:16, for whosoever believeth in him. Until that time, it had been Jews and Jews alone. You conformed to Judaism if you wanted to be part of the kingdom. Now, this Savior comes, and this old man Simeon is standing at the temple when Jesus is brought in by his parents to do his circumcision, and he takes him up in his arms, and he realizes exactly what Mark Lowry wrote in the song, Mary, Did You Know? He realizes that he's holding God. Man, let that soak in just a minute. And God had revealed to him that he would not die until he saw the fruition, the manifestation of the Messiah. And he knew at that moment, I am holding the Godchild in my hands. And then he begins to spew these prophecies. Our youth a few years ago in their youth class issued the thought that preaching was really just a rant. You know, just some bubbling over, some, you know, blah, 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 blah. And you know they're right. It is. Because you see, when Simeon grabbed this child and was taken up in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, that which wasn't Simeon became the prophecy. And he says, Lord, now you are letting your servant, verse 29, depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to Gentiles. and the glory of your people Israel. Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them, said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Man, the prophecy that he explains was bone-chilling to Mary and to those of us today who read it. 750 years ago, before that date, Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would come and that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords would reside, and he would be a suffering servant. Jeremiah even names the place of Bethlehem and Nazareth. I'm telling you, the prophecy is so vivid, and yet Simeon fulfills that prophecy when he comes and says, "Lord, now it's time. I can go. I can die. I have seen thy hand," and God begins to reveal to him, hey, this man, this child is going to grow. He's going to see the rise and the fall of many. That great nation of Israel will rise and fall. And the Gentiles will rise. And the grace and the new covenant that we understand as salvation, that we know as the New Testament, that new covenant will rise, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Isaiah cries in Isaiah 53, "How will they know that? Who will believe our report?" He says, 53 and verse 1, "Who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he," the Lord, "shall grow up before God as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." Man, he tells us that this Savior that we are going to encounter some 700 years from then, he says he will not be, men will not be drawn to him because of his beauty or because of his sparkling personality. As a matter of fact, he'll be rejected. He'll be despised. He'll be hated. He'll be turned on. But it won't make any difference, because this man of sorrows, this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, will turn into the servant of God who was determined before the beginning of time. He'll be despised and rejected. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, but we will hide our faces from him. His glory will be magnificent. His righteousness will be indescribable. And we will fall on our face before him when we see him. Today there's only one way to salvation, only one way to grace, only one way to forgiveness. And that's through a heart of humility, of recognizing that we stand in need of a Savior. We need forgiveness. In order to understand that need, you have to understand the terms of judgment. You have to understand the picture of hell. I want to tell you, the world's deceived. Hell is not going to be a party. Your friends aren't going to be there. You aren't going to look around the fire. You're going to be in the fire. You're going to be on fire. The place where the flesh burns but is never consumed. The worm never dies. Have you ever smelt burning flesh? The smell alone would cause you to retreat. Not going to be some kegger in hell. There's going to be people screaming in darkness. There's going to be terror. There's going to be horrific smell. You're not going to know where you're going. You're not going to see any way out. And there's no hope. The hope of eternity, the hope of a Savior, is gone. I know what some of you are thinking this morning. Preacher, you're trying to scare us? Yes. Yes, I am. Man, if I can scare you out of hell, I've got you halfway to heaven. Right? And folks, without the reality of understanding that there is coming a day where there is judgment, where God is going to say, it is not good enough that you rejected, but there is payment. The wages of sin is death. Ah. But the gift of God. The gift of God is eternal life. Folks, today every one of us, me included, is worthy and deserving of death except for the grace that God imputed to me. I would perish and burn in hell. I'm not a good guy. I've never been a good guy. I'll never be a good guy apart from Christ. I am a wretched, wicked, sinful man that I am. Man, I thought for sure I'd get an amen there. Sure I am. Man, I'm not being self-abased. I'm not being humble. I'm telling you, we fall on our face before the righteousness of a living God. He was a man of sorrows with no sin, nothing against him. Surely, verse 4, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes I am healed. Man, today, what a glorious day it is to say, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. What a glorious day it is to know that Jesus died on my behalf. Romans 3:23 is right. All of sin. Romans 6:23 is correct. The wages of sin is death. Man, somebody had to pay that price. I think Jesus paid it, and I'm grateful today he paid it. I'm thankful today that I don't have to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to see it. I don't want to smell it. I don't want to be around it. It's kind of like going to jail. I don't think I'd ever do anything bad enough to get in jail. I'm not sure I could ever be good enough once I'm in there to get out. That's a joke. Come on, laugh, LP. Man, he's missing his cues. Folks, my point is we have to recognize the condition of our own hearts. And if we esteem ourselves higher than we are, we lessen the need of a Savior. We lessen the need of someone paying our price. By his stripes, I am healed. Even after I'm healed, verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. These are great verses to me, verse 6 in particular, because it reminds me that he paid for my past sins. He pays for my current sins. And he even pays for those sins I haven't even committed yet. Because you see, he became sin that we might have life. Didn't happen one day in heaven as God was looking down on earth and seeing man scurrying around doing everything wrong. No, it happened long ago when he sat at the right hand of the Father in the Holy Spirit, and he and the Heavenly Father decide they would create a man and they would place in him a living soul and they would give him the right to choose whether he was going to be obedient to the Father or disobedient. And God said, we've got to allow sin to enter. We've got to give man an opportunity to choose whether or not he chooses sin. There's lots of people in the world who are going to choose sin. That's what they want to choose. That's what they're going to understand. The Holy Spirit has talked to them. They've rejected him, pushed him away. They said, I don't want to be part of church. They're doomed for hell. They're destined for hell. They're going to go to hell. There's nothing you and I can do about it. But God says, don't you ever quit. For my Son died on the cross that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friends, today his grace is sufficient where my grace falls short. You rape my daughter, you take her life, I want you to go to hell for eternity. I don't want to spend time in heaven with you. You understand? But God said, no, wait a minute, Frank, you don't get it like that. You see, before you deserve hell, the grace that I imputed to you, I impute to them. And now all of a sudden, your heart has to be big enough to encompass a love that says, even those who harmed me, those who sinned against me, those who I don't love, I must love in Christ. We're commanded to love our enemy. Now, I don't feel like I have an enemy in this world, not a one. Have some people who don't like me, who aren't fond of me. Some days their name is Shelley. But I can't imagine having a real enemy that I would walk around and wonder, are they going to kill me? But folks, we as Christians all have an enemy that seeks to destroy us. And we need to remember that God has given us the tools and the gifts able to overcome the oppressor, to overcome the one that would chastise us, that would persecute us, that would punish us, that would deliver us from the hands of a gracious, loving God. And so Jesus says, I'll be that one. He was oppressed, verse 7, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is silent. So he opened not his mouth. I don't know if you've ever had any dealings with sheep. Oh, I need to stay here, don't I, for some reason. I don't know if you have any dealings with sheep. But one thing that if you're around sheep, you might notice, they're not very bright. That may be why Jesus called us sheep. They have a tendency to follow one another. And when they begin to shear sheep, oftentimes the lambs will become very quiet. And the reason they're quiet is because of their lack of understanding of what's happening. They're being sheared. And they don't understand what's happening. And it's the nature of a sheep to be still, to be quiet. What's remarkable about this verse, these verses, is that Jesus is compared to a lamb that is being sheared, and yet, listen to me, he's a roaring lion, yet he became as a lamb, humble and obedient. The perfect word here, listen to me, submissive to the Father. Doesn't that seem honorable? If that submissiveness seems honorable, hold your hand up. Wives, let me tell you something. That's what God means when he tells you to be submissive to your husband. It should be honorable. Men, that's speaking to you and I today. If we want our wives to be submissive and honorable, then let's treat them. Let's give them something to be submissive for. Jesus wasn't just submissive to anybody. He was submissive to his heavenly Father who created a being that he said could choose not to love him if he wants to, but I'm going to pay the ultimate sacrifice so that he will love me. And Jesus was submissive to the point that he never said a mumbling word. And I love that the only word that we have recorded that he did say was he looked into the eyes of the very man who had the ability to kill him. And he said, you don't have any power over me except that which my Father in heaven gives you. Wow. Wow. A lamb? Hardly. But submitted himself, thought it not robbery to come to earth to be the suffering servant that would save a wretch like me. Man, what a picture of my Savior. He was taken from prison, verse 8, and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living, from the transgressions of my people. he was stricken, and they made his grave with the wicked, but with the rich at his death, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth. The world was going to forget him. They were going to kill him, and that was going to be the end of him. Not with God. That ain't the end. Verse 10 said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Was God's plan that he did this? It was no accident. It pleased him that men would be saved. It pleased him that his son was obedient. It pleased him so much that he said, I'll lift that name above every name. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You're either going to confess today or you're going to confess in that day. My friends, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I mean, Satan himself is going to bow and utterly reveal the presence of the living God. It pleased God for such a plan. He shall see the labor of his soul and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressor. There's only one person today who can make a difference in your life and mine as far as my sin goes. Only one. And that is Jesus. Today, my only hope is to say, Lord, forgive me. Father, forgive my sin. And it's through that name of Jesus, the only name under heaven, whereby man shall be saved. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death. Romans 5:8 says, in that while we were yet sinners, that's all of us, Christ died for us. Not when I was cleaned up, not when I was good. As a matter of fact, he died for me before I was ever born. Think about that. He died for me knowing what I was going to do, and he still died for me and gave life. You see, he was unconditionally obedient to the Heavenly Father, and the Heavenly Father unconditionally loved me, even in that while I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made into salvation. Friends, today the gospel is just that simple. If you're here today and you don't know him, then the Bible says today you have an opportunity to come to know him, and all you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus is the Son of God, that God sent him here to provide forgiveness of our sins. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in him, yield your heart and life to him, in submission to him. Surrender your life and say, Lord, no longer do I live, but it's Christ living in me. And that surrender is the picture of dying and rising to walk in newness of life. A new man with Christ now. The Holy Spirit leading me. Instead of my desires, my wants, my wishes, my appetites, all those things. Now it's Christ who's leading me. And I become a new creature in him. Not something I do. Something he does. For you see, I'm not conformed to the image of Christ, but rather I'm transformed. The living of Christ. And he gives me but one command. Seek ye now, first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these things will be added unto you. Today, in the new year, I can't imagine a better way to begin than to say, Lord, I'm going to be submissive to you. If you don't know Him, if you've never trusted Him, if you've never accepted Him as your Savior, this morning we unapologetically invite you to come. Take me by the hand and say, Pastor Frank, I'm not sure I know what it means, but I want to follow Jesus today. Man, we'll take however long, whatever time it takes, till you have a clear understanding of what God would have you do. Maybe you're here today and you're already a Christian, and today is the day, this is the time of the year that you're going to say, you know what, I'm going to spend 2017 in submission to my Savior, and if that changes my life, so be it. But I'm not going to wear out for Him. I'm going to go to the very end. I'm going to finish as strong as I started. This morning, you have that opportunity to make that decision right here, right now. And it's up to you. Let me ask you a question. Who's your king? Is it you? Or is it Jesus? If it's Jesus today, to God be the glory. If it's you today, surrender your life to the Lord Jesus and follow Him. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're grateful today for the things that you would have for us. Father, we pray for these that are here today. Lord, I earnestly pray if there's one here who doesn't know you, that Father, this would be the very hour, the very moment that your Holy Spirit would speak to them. Father, may every Christian in this building right now be praying for those who don't know you. Father, that your Holy Spirit would draw them. And Father, they would surrender their life to you. Lord, speak to us today. Forgive us where we fall short. And grow us in your kingdom's work. That, Lord, we may be found obedient, doing what you would have us to do. Now, Lord, we submit our hearts and lives to you. Speak to us. Speak to us, Lord. For now we are listening. I want you to stay put this morning. I want you to stand up. This is my favorite invitation hymn. And the reason it's my favorite is because I think in order for people to get their lives focused on Christ, they have to first turn their attention to Him. And this song speaks of that very thing. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Crystal and Vonda to sing this hymn of invitation. You come if there's a decision you'd like to make. If not, listen to the words. Worship in those words. Hear those words. Let them speak to your heart today. For they are a message from our Savior.
See you.